Well, you ready for the word today?
Yes.
Let me try this side. You guys ready for the word today?
Yes.
This side's always quiet. I don't know what it is. This is the reserve side. This is the excited side. This is the reserve side. All right. Come on, Cindy. You got to pick it up on your side over there. You're the worship leader. Come on now. Well, today we're starting a new series. It's called Move That Stone. Everybody say move!
Move!
Amen. We need to move that stone. And that is leading up to our Resurrection Sunday on March 31st. And on March 31st, just so you can keep this in prayer, I'm going to China that night. Yeah, I'll be here Sunday morning. So... No, hey, just so you know, if I go away or whatever, we still do church every Wednesday, every Sunday, okay? And doors are always open. And so, but the title for today is called Betrayal. How many of you have ever been betrayed? You don't have to raise your hand. Well, go ahead. Everybody. Man, look at all those words, betrayal, lover, infidelity, cheating, woman, male, depressed, people, message, female, husband, couple, mistress, marital, a lot of words for betrayal. So we're going to go through that today because there's definitely betrayal in the Bible, definitely betrayal leading up to the crucifixion. And probably definitely betrayal by the show of hands in our own lives. So today we're going to read a lot of scripture. It's just one long continuous story out of Luke chapter 22 verses 47 to 62. So 15 verses, if you'll stand with me as we read the word. It's called Betrayal and Arrest at the Star in Gethsemane. Verse 47, while he was still speaking, behold a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you are also one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this Galilean also was with him, for he is Galilean. Surely this fellow is with him. Yep. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you praise for this day, Lord. That we could be here on the other side of the story to read about it and to share about it, Lord. That, Lord, that we could look at betrayal today, God, and work, Lord, through our own issues of life. And Father God, that your grace would be upon each one of us and that you'd give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us so that, Lord, that we'd not be on the wrong side of betrayal. But, Lord, that you'd cover, keep, and protect us this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Well, I already asked you, have you ever been betrayed? And then, you know, I think almost every hand went up. But let me ask you this one. Have you ever betrayed someone? No hands went up. Did you see that? Not one hand went up on that one. You guys are real good about being betrayed, but when it comes to betrayal, whoop. Betrayal means this. The act of betraying someone or something, or the fact of being betrayed. Violation of a person's trust or confidence of a moral standard, etc. Two, it means revelation of something hidden or secret. You know, don't you love when somebody else reveals your secrets? Isn't that wonderful? It's like, back that bus up and hit me again. You know, and then number three, the act of not being loyal when other people believe you are loyal. That's what betrayal is. You know, in Judas's case, he did it to Jesus' face. He walked up to him. He had it prearranged. He said, because there was somebody else that looked like Jesus, but he said, the man that I kiss, that's the one you get. And so he went up to Jesus and he kissed him, and Jesus said, Judas, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Really? I mean, right to his face. You know, and he gave him up for the arrest to the temple guards. And he did it for 30 pieces of silver. Now, some think he did it to force Jesus to step up. You see, because so many people, we were watching something the other day. Oh, well, we were watching Chosen again. We just keep watching it. It's about the only best thing on TV right now. So we were watching The Chosen, and just the fact that Judas was really wanting Jesus to come forward with who he was, wanting him to step up, wanting him to be the king, you know. And even, oh, I know it was Jesus was teaching the little children. He's out in the field, and the little children came and visited him and stuff, and he's teaching them in The Chosen. And the kids had an idea about when the Messiah comes. The kids told him this: when the Messiah comes, he's going to rise up and he's going to defeat the Romans. He's going to be a warrior that defeats the Romans, that delivers us from Roman rule. That's what the kids said, and Jesus is listening to them. Because, you know, what do kids repeat? What their parents say, you know? So that was the thought of the time, that when the Messiah came, that he was going to be their deliverer, but they didn't know that he was going to deliver from sin and deliver them from demons, deliver them from sickness. They weren't looking for that. They were looking for a deliverer from the Roman rule. And so here's Jesus with Judas being kissed, because Judas thought, I'm going to force his hand. He didn't listen to what Jesus said about laying down his life for us. You know, he was trying to get his way, even though it was not God's way. He was trying to force Jesus into something that Jesus wasn't supposed to do. Now, have you ever gone out of your way to do things your way to get what you want? According to this, that's betrayal to him. When we try to do things our own way, different from what the Word says, to get what we think God wants us to do, we're betraying God. Now, he didn't pay attention to what the Lord was saying. Doing things your way so that you can get what you want, even though it's not what God has planned for you, is betrayal. And there's things that we need to learn to let go, that we need to follow the Lord with. It's easy to talk about Judas today and how bad he was, you know, to go up and to sell his soul to the devil for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, oh, we could sit here and talk about, but what about us? How are we betraying Christ in our daily lives by trying to do things our way instead of God's way? Because that's exactly what it, I mean, Judas did. But then there's Peter. There's Peter. The Lord warned him, listen, because Peter's like, I'll die for you, man. Ain't nobody gonna, and, you know, and Jesus is like, you need to cool your jets. He's like, before the night's up, you're going to deny me three times. Before that crow, the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. No way, not me. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. You call me the stone. Ain't no way that's going to be me. And he's, you know, priding himself on who he's called to be. Now, how many of you know, even though Jesus has called you, you can still make mistakes? I got called to be a pastor when I was 18, and man, I ran as fast as I could away from that. Not what I wanted to do, but God had other plans. He caught me. He runs faster than me. You know, but here's Peter, the rock. And he said, hey, aren't you one of his followers? Oh, no, not me. Hey, oh, you're one of his followers? No, you got it wrong. And then he starts cursing, and he's like, he's just so angry. And then it's like, because he was there in the courtyard, and Jesus was there, and Jesus turned and looked at him. Like, oh, there's number three. And the rooster crows. I've been there. I went to that place. I went to the dungeon. There's a hole about this big, Mark, where they lowered him down into the hole. But now they put in a doorway, and they put stairs that we could go down in there. And we went down in there. There's 60 of us in this little dungeon crammed in there. And we just started singing Jesus Paid It All right there in that little dungeon. And it was the presence of God just flooded that place. Jesus saw Peter, and he looked at him. And then that guilt. Because betrayal is an ugly thing. It's ugly. The damage that can be done to the betrayer can be harsh. When you look at Judas, the guilt of what he'd done was more than he could bear. And he went out and he took the money that he'd gotten from the priest, and he took it back, and they said, we can't take that money back. That's your money. And he threw it, and he's like, ah, you know, because he was thinking Jesus was going to rise up and be this king, but when he found out he's not going to be that right now, he was Torah, what did I do? How could I have done this? And he threw the money down, and then he ran out, and then he went to a field, and he grabbed a rope, and he hung himself. The guilt and the shame was more than he could bear. It was just too much, and he hung himself. And he died there. Terrible. And then Peter, he went fishing. A lot of people, when we make mistakes, when we betray the Lord with our life, when we make mistakes, we end up going back, reverting back to our former way of life, to what we knew before Jesus. And that's what Peter did. Peter's like, I'm going fishing. And he went fishing. You know, when we do things that we know is not God, and we're upset that, you know, we even did them, a lot of times the enemy uses that as that door to push into us to get us to go back to pre-Christ. We could say BC, before Christ. He tries to get us to go backwards. And so when he goes fishing, but see, when we make mistakes a lot of times we don't like to be alone in our guilt and our shame. So we get people to come with us. You know, let's go fishing. Let's all go fishing. So they go back to the Sea of Galilee. They get in the boat and they're fishing. And when they're fishing, there's somebody on the shore that's walking the shore and says, "Hey, you got any fish?" Because he lit a fire. He's ready to cook. And Peter's like, I think that's Jesus. And he says, "Hey, cast your net on the other side." And they cast their net on the other side. And the net just fills up with fish. They get so many fish. They're so blessed. And then Peter says, "That's Jesus. It's Jesus on the shore." You know, he's like, "This is the only way." And he gathered that big old net together and he starts going in. He just jumps in the water and he starts going in and bringing it in. And he gets there and he gives the fish to Jesus. And, you know, and sometimes when you betrayed somebody, it's really hard to face them. It's really hard to look them in the eye. You know, but how do we get out of our self-protect mode to being forgiven, to being restored, to restoring that relationship? See, because when I said, "How many of you have ever been betrayed?" Almost everybody in the building raised their hand. And I was trying to get you not to raise your hand, but you raised your hand because you all been betrayed. But when I said, "How many of you betrayed somebody?" You sat on your hands. I'm not going to admit my guilt in front of everybody here. Because sometimes that guilt is more than we can handle. It's more than we want to bear. We don't like to admit that we've done things. We don't want to admit that we could be so selfish as Judas was to get his way, that he betrayed the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And Jesus knew both men were going to do it. He told Judas at the Last Supper, he said, "Go and do what you got to do." And he said, "The one that dips his bread in the wine, he's the one." Judas was like, "Huh?" Jesus said, "Go do what you got to do." He didn't stop him. But he prayed for Peter. And Peter's on that shore. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes. Feed my sheep." And he asked him three times. See, it was the restoration that Peter needed to come back to what his calling was. Because the guilt was overwhelming him that he could just keep going fishing. And like I said, when we fall, when we make a mistake, the damage is wide. It usually includes other people. And then we try to get people on our side. And Peter had all these other guys with him. So how do we come back from betrayal? How do we get back when we've made these mistakes? Is there a way back after betraying someone and knowing that it was so wrong to do so? Jesus did what needed to be done with Peter. But if you want to be restored, and if you want to restore someone that's betrayed you, the key to it is forgiveness. You have to forgive. "Oh, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said." Doesn't matter. You have to forget. Forgiveness is the key to overcoming the hurt people do to you. It's the total key. I wrote it this way. Letting unforgiveness brew in you is like drinking poison. You know you shouldn't, but you can't seem to help yourself. But you do it because you're so hurt. Jesus, our model for what is good and what is right, shows us the way. Forgive. Everybody say forgive.
Forgive.
Peter was a key man on his team. Peter was, he was the rock. He was the guy. And he, Jesus needed him to step up. And he forgave him. That's the powerful tool, because forgiveness, it breaks the strongholds of the enemy. Forgiveness breaks the chains that the enemy tries to put on you to keep you bound. See, because when we walk in unforgiveness, we open the door for torment. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. We open the door, when we walk in unforgiveness, what we're saying is, devil, come torment me. Come torment me. Because that's exactly what the word says. And Jesus showed us the way. He forgave when most others would have cut him off. How many people have you cut out of your life because they betrayed you? It's not an easy thing to forgive sometimes, but it is possible. Amen? It is. I like those few amens. It is possible. You're getting better. Because it heals the trauma that you're under, and the torment that comes from unforgiveness. The pain lifts. For some, you have your Judases in your life who you can't reach anymore. Maybe it was someone that did something to you when you were young, and you can't. They're either gone or just out of your life so far that you can't even forgive them. But you can come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for holding on to it. See, because it's sin when we hold on to it. We have to ask for forgiveness for it. Amen? We got to get overcome. And forgiveness is so powerful that Jesus shows us how to use it. It won't only heal you, but it might heal the betrayer, the person that betrayed you. Let the trauma be over. Let the torture stop. Christ forgave you, amen. Break the cycle of the pain you experienced. You know, as I've been reading about betrayal, there's a thing called betrayal trauma. It's a psychoanalytical definition of what people go through when they've been betrayed and the pain that they're experiencing. And you know, they give you steps that you can go through to work it out. But I'm here today to tell you, if you want to jump from the beginning to the end, forgive those people. You're letting yourself off the hook, not them. Amen. You let yourself off, and when you let go of that, the forgiveness that will just flow to you, the relief of that trauma, the trauma lifts off of you, and it's no longer traumatic to you anymore. That when you see that person, you don't start shaking. That when you see that person, you don't get fearful. That when you see that person, you're okay. You're like, hey! And you know, they don't even, a lot of times people don't even know that they've done something to you. And you go up to them and you say, I forgive you for what you did, like what I do. And they're like, and you're like, because it was so traumatic to you, you're thinking they've got to know what they've done to you. They got to know how they hurt you. And then you go into this thing. So sometimes it's not even worth going and tell that person, I forgive you. Just look at them across the room and say, I forgive you. And then just say, it's good. You got to let it go. And I understand there's things bad that happen. Man, there's things all over this world right now that are going on that are terrible. Terrible. I mean, you know, with the people being stolen, the human trafficking thing, all that stuff. It's just terrible right now. But the way to break the cycle of pain that you've experienced is to forgive, to release it. That'll get you back. Now, when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to let them back into your life to walk with them. I think I told you this story. I had to forgive somebody for what they did to me And it was pretty serious. They left me on the other side of the world. You know, and so when I came back, see, because he'd betrayed me, when I come back, he couldn't look at me. So I thought it would be fun, as I told you, I think last week, I thought it'd be fun to hit him. But I didn't. I forgave him instead. And I never went to him and said, I forgive you for leaving me on the other side of the world, you bum. No, I didn't do that. I just said, Lord, I forgive him. Forgive me for holding on to this. And I was released, and I cried, and I was like, wow, I feel good. And so I could see that guy, and I'd see him out in public, and I'd hug him, and I'd laugh, and I didn't care. I didn't care anymore. I was free. We sang it today. You asked us, are you free? See, because when you let it go, it's amazing what God will do in you, amen? He'll make you free. But you got to be able to say in your spirit, in your own self, you got to be able to say, I forgive you. And that restoration comes to you. Like I said, you don't have to walk hand in hand with that person. But it releases the pain of what happened. It takes it away. As I was writing this,
get back up there.
As I was writing this, the Lord just, I'm pretty sure it was the Lord. I don't know, maybe it could have been me. You know, you get some things sometimes, you know, you're not sure, is this you, God? But Lord just talked to me about forgiving people that exited your life. Whether it be through death, whether it be through abandonment, or just going away from you, but to forgive them. Not for them, but for you. That one was really hitting me during praise and worship. Because those are the ones you can't go back to and you can't confront and you can't say anything to. They're the hard ones. You don't get that opportunity to confront them. But just by looking out at you today and your raising of hands, you've all been betrayed. You've all been hurt by betrayal. And the Lord says, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Because he really, really, really wants to heal your heart. He wants to just come close to you today to take out the pain that you have of the memory of that person. He really wants you, you know, in just right now, just start searching your heart. Because I just kind of feel in my spirit that some of the things that you've gone through are not recent. They're things that happened a long time ago. And it's not that you just buried it, because that's what you're told to do. Just bury it. It'll be okay. I think of little kids that have been molested, I think. And parents don't know what to do, and they just say, it'll be okay, it's all right. And they don't ever do anything for their kid. But that kid is going to be affected for the rest of their life by that. And as parents, we don't understand the spiritual aspect of what happens in that, those kind of situations when a kid is affected that way. And so we don't do anything about it. We just say, I'm sorry, honey, it'll be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not okay. So we don't do anything with it. And then here we sit today, all grown up, having the effects of traumatic events that have happened in our lives. If you were a boy and you're my age, you were told, stop crying. Or how about, you want me to give you something to cry about? Because you didn't cry. I remember when I first came back to Jesus, I probably cried for 15, 20 years every moment I stepped into his presence. I had a guy tell me, he goes, I always know when the Lord shows up. I said, how's that? He goes, I look over and I see you crying. I'm like, because his presence. His presence. And I don't want anything for you or for me to get in the way of his presence. We need to forgive. We need to let things go so that he can come to us, so that he can get real close. So let's bow our heads today. Heavenly Father, here we sit before you, God. People that have been betrayed, people that have betrayed somebody, God. Lord, we're all here. And you modeled for us what we need to do. We need to forgive. And I pray, Lord, that you would search our hearts deep today, God. Lord, even the person that's saying, I don't know why I am the way I am, but, you know, because they don't remember what happened in their lives, God. I pray that you don't bring up the memory, God, but I pray that you give them the revelation of that they need to forgive somebody. That those chains would be broken today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, just be honest with yourself, with the Lord. If you know you've been under that trauma of betrayal and you want to get released today, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Amen. Man, Father, you see all these hands going up. You know what's going on in our life. You know the person that betrayed us, God. You know who they are, God. And Lord, today, everybody say, I forgive. We forgive them, Lord. We release them into your hands, Lord. That we would be healed today, God. I pray that you come close to us, Lord. And you heal that wound on hearts today, God. Lord, even for when we've been trying to do it our way instead of your way to get what we want, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Father, that we could truly glorify you with our lives. You're the Lord God, our healer. And I pray that you heal every soul and spirit in this place today. Lord, our emotions today. Heal our emotions, Lord. Come close. Holy Spirit, just come across this room today. to sweep over us today. That we'd be free. That we'd be free. In Jesus' name, that we'd be free. And we thank you now for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, step two, if you need to, go to that person and tell them, if they know what they did to you, that you forgive them. Tell them you forgive them. Is that easy? No. I mean, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was man too, but he still forgave. Forgive. Amen? I just want to share with you real quick about last week's service, Mission Sunday. We had faith commitments, faith promises of $2,034 a month come in. You can give yourselves a big hand for that. Amen? That'll help us to do a lot. On that offering box right out there, there's the faith commitment cards. If you weren't here last Sunday and you didn't get to make a commitment, they're on that offering box, so you can fill it out and you can drop it in that box and we'll get it tomorrow. Because we want to know how much we're going to have coming in this year for missions so we can reach more missionaries. Amen. And we are just truly grateful for your continued support financially of what God is doing. And I think 5-6 years ago, I brought a book to the church, and it was called Why Are Some Churches So Blessed? And it's because of missions, that we promote the going of the gospel, that we promote, we help people to go, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal to the Lord. That's his final command to us, go into all the world, amen? And that's what we're doing. We're doing it by walking across the room, by walking across the street, by driving across town, by going to the ends of the earth. And as we go, God wants to use us, and if we can't go to the ends of the earth, we need to send somebody, amen? How will they know unless someone sends them? And so that's part of our heritage here at New Hope and in the Assemblies of God is to send missionaries. We have missionaries all over the world through the Assemblies of God, and we support a number of them. I know there's some on the wall out there, but there's a lot more that we support now. We've been doing more and more every year. So, and now that we're not supporting our orphanage anymore, we're going to be able to pick up more missionaries and to do more in our spreading wide in our giving. Some of these young folk coming up need help to get out there, amen? We have a lady that we support, Nellie. Nellie was in India. They rejected her visa this time. And so she's starting a woman's home for prostituted women. And so she's got property, and she's going to be building, putting modulars in there to house women, to get them off the streets, to get them restored, to get them going again. And she's down here in Lake Elsinore. And so that's an exciting program that she's got going. And we want to be able to help her more. Amen. And it's not a battle. Because there's nothing worse than going on the mission field and you don't have any money. Because DeLon and I, when we were left betrayed and we were left on the other side of the world, it's like, what do we do now? But God always supplied. Amen. God always supplies. So stand with me if you would this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for healing our hearts, restoring, God, and I pray a covering of protection, healing, and blessing over the people of God as they go their way today, Lord, and just be with them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we need you to sign up for the Seder dinner on Wednesday. Delonda just went out. She's at that table right there. Stop and sign up because we need to know how much food to prepare. It's free. Everybody say free.
Free.
We like free. So God bless you. Have a great week.